Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week on the show, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Check in the Inbox, where we try to herd cats and create some yes spaces. And we have our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 51 of Big Fat Positive. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
How are you doing? What's going on with you this week? How old is your baby? Tell me everything.
I'm good. She is 23 weeks old, which is about 5.5 months. Mm. And oh my God, she is moving like crazy. I mean, I don't know if I've talked about it before, but she's always seemed super motivated to like try to move and crawl and get stuff, but she's just been too little on tummy time. So mm-hmm. She gets pissed and screams and cries. So I think we're finally seeing some progress. She is like rolling all over the place. And it's a little tricky, like when I'm working, because I'll be like involved in something and then I'll look down and she's like rolled over by my rat's nest of like charging cables. I'm like, no. So I've got to break out my, I have this big like baby gate thing that used with my first baby. And I create like a big yes space that she can really crawl and move and roll. And I know she's safe in there. And so I've got to bust that out. Right now she uses the pack and play, you know, for that kind of situation, like a yes space, like a safe space where I know she's okay and I can walk out of the room. Mm-hmm. And it's just too small for her now. I can see she wants to move.
Is yes space like a rye thing?
Yeah. So it's a rye thing. It's Janet Lansbury talks about it a lot and has some great articles on it. It's basically a space where you know that, I think she says something like, if God forbid you had to go out of the house for a few hours, like for something, you were locked out of the house, let's say, you would know that your baby, she might cry and get hungry in there, but you know that like she's safe. She's not going to get hurt. She's mm-hmm. not going to go anywhere dangerous. So that can be like a section of the room that you like set off and make completely baby safe, or like a pack and play. Because a lot of times it's really hard to like baby proof like an entire house or even my entire living room.
Absolutely.
I've got so much going on. It's really nice. I've got maybe I'll link to it because it's awesome. It's like this really big like gate system, and I just make a big space for her and put all her toys in there. And so I need to set that up basically.
Yeah, it sounds like she's ready to go.
She's on the move. It's awesome. And then my other check-in, I don't think I mentioned this, but I thought that I would. I actually started introducing formula with Cece.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah, like a month or two ago, like just like a little bit here and there to see, you know, how she likes it and how she takes it. Because it's never been my plan to breastfeed for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't really like pumping and I don't want that to be part of my routine. So I actually feel okay about like giving her a bottle of formula if there's not enough pumped milk. Mm-hmm. So my routine has just been like I wake up in the morning, I have a ton of milk in the morning. So I'll pump like a little bit while she feeds.
Like you'll pump on the side she's not feeding on, basically?
Yeah. And I use a hand pump. I don't even hook up to the electrical thing. I can't handle it. I don't know if I mentioned that. And if there's enough milk, Steve will give it to her at her dream feed. If not, we'll like do a bottle of formula. And actually, in one of her feedings in the middle of the day, I give her a bottle. Whether I have breast milk or formula, I give that to her. Just so I can have a break. So I'm all about like trying to take it easy on myself, especially because I'm working and taking care of her. So I've been doing that and she likes it. It's going well. I don't know how long our breastfeeding journey is going to last. We will see. I'm not trying to wean her, but I'd mention that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's great that you mentioned that because it also goes to show that it's not like a brick wall, right? You know, it's not like you have to stop. Like the minute you give a drop of formula to your baby, you no longer are able to breastfeed, right? Like,
no, not at all.
I love this idea that you are being kind to yourself and you're saying, you know what, like, I don't think I can do the boob right now. Like, I'm going to give her that formula. And you rightfully shouldn't have like any concern about that because it's fine. You know what I mean?
It is. It's really fine. And going through it with my first baby really helped me realize that for this one because I agonized over this with Elle. And she's 3.5 now. She is so strong, so smart. Mm-hmm. She's just great. Like, I don't think formula did her a disservice. And so I feel okay about it. And I know that that's like a journey for some people, and that's fine. But I thought I'd put it out there that, and like just quote unquote admit that I'm doing it so I could be real about what I'm doing with that whole situation.
Well, I think that's great. I applaud you. I also think that, you know, I think obviously it's great that there's so much encouragement for women to try to breastfeed. But I think the flip side of all this sort of, you know, breast is best and, you know, all this like focus on baby friendly hospitals that sort of essentially force you to breastfeed at the beginning.
Yeah.
I feel like the dark side of that is that it makes moms who either choose to use formula because whatever reason, like literally we shouldn't have to talk about what the reason is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone always truly justifies it, you know, like, well, it's because I didn't have enough supply or, you know what, like it's, it's your choice. You don't have to like justify it to me why you're doing it. But all this pressure to breastfeed, it's got to create, you know, a sort of culture of shame around formula. Like I can even tell, and I don't feed my baby formula mostly because I don't like, I find it more convenient to breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell that, like, you know, my mom friends who, you know, haven't had a good supply or switched to formula or just didn't fit into their life, it's like they don't want to admit it in public because they're afraid of what it, you know, what it might, what people, how people might judge them. And that's really fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. And with my first L, I remember, you know, like I said, I was agonizing through all of this and I joined some Facebook groups and one of them was a big group called, I think, Formula Feeders and Beyond. Mm-hmm. And it was a big like support group for moms who were formula feeding for whatever reason. And there was a lot of shame, but also I learned to take a lot of like confidence and pride and like, it's okay. And so that's a great support resource for anyone who's maybe feeling weird about that at all.
We'll try to find it and link to it if we can, if it's not a private group.
Yeah, we'll, I don't remember. But that's pretty much my check-in for this week. Otherwise, things are going well. She's still sleeping through the night, knock on wood.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm getting more sleep. In general, I'm feeling good. So there you have it.
So great.
Yay! What about you? Where are you guys?
So we are at 19 weeks. And gosh, we had a kind of busy week. So it was my birthday this
week. Oh, yay. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And so we actually did our first out of town trip with the baby.
That's right. I still haven't gotten an update on this. I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. So we went to Ojai, which we picked it because we had never been to Ojai before. It's this beautiful little like sleepy little town sort of inland from Santa Barbara, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we had never been there, heard it was lovely. And we realized it was only a 90-minute drive from LA. So we're like, perfect. We'll go there, you know, it'll be a good, like, dipping our toes in the water of, like, car trips. And we found a really great deal, actually, because we went midweek. We went, like, Tuesday through Thursday, I want to say, to the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa, which is, like, the five-star resort in Ojai. And, oh, I have a hot tip for everyone.
What?
If you are going to a location where there's only one five-star hotel, book it on Hotwire because you can sort by hotel rankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you will know exactly what hotel you're booking. So like, you know, the whole deal with Hotwire is you're not like, you don't know exactly what hotel and you're just getting a good deal.
Right.
I think we, you know, on their website, on the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa's website, it was like $500 a night for a room.
Uh-huh.
I was like, we got it for like $250 a night, I want to say.
Oh,
it,
dang.
We actually ended up upgrading to a nicer room because we're like, well, you know, hell, we're going to splurge because we got this deal. And, you know, it's like mystery hotel, but it's the only one in like a, you know, 40-mile radius. So I highly recommend doing that. I wonder, it might even work with like four-star hotels because, you know, there's not a lot in a lot of areas, especially these like little sleepy towns. It's not like there's a lot of hotels, you know, so it's pretty easy to figure out what you're getting. So that's my hot tip. So that's what we did. So we got to do that. And it was actually, it was really nice. The baby slept the whole drive out there.
Nice.
Which was awesome. And we brought the snoo.
I was going to say, I need to know the logistics of sleeping in a hotel room. Like,
well,
what happened?
Okay. So because it's a fancy hotel, we could have gotten them to bring a crib to the room. And I actually thought, like, maybe we should just do that. But then I chickened out and I was like, no, we got to bring the snoo. And I was like, I have an SUV. So we packed up the snoo.
Yeah.
We show up for like two nights with, you know, an entire car full of crap. And I'm glad we brought this new because I think also being in like the unusual environment, it just helped them to have that sort of like normal thing, you know, normalized it. But here's the other thing we did when we were there is we got a babysitter so that we could go out to dinner.
Smart. How did you go about that?
I used Helper, H-E-L-P-R. It's an app. Mm-hmm. It was an app that was actually started. Do you remember when I lived in that fourplex in Echo Park?
Oh my God.
Forever ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, my first apartment that I lived in mm-hmm. for like 7 years. The woman who lived above me ended up starting this app, and it's like a babysitter finder app.
Ooh.
So that's how I knew about it. And so I download the app and asked her, I was like, you know, is it in Ojai? And she's like, oh yeah, they usually drive in from Santa Barbara, but it's fine. And mm-hmm. like, I didn't get a discount. I was kind of like angling for a discount code. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't get that, but she did tell me to like call customer support and tell them that I knew her.
mm-hmm.
to make sure they sent me a good person. So anyway, okay. I mean, it was a pretty easy job, I feel like, for the lady who came and babysat because he was already asleep. So she mm-hmm. just like sat in a fancy hotel room for 3 hours and got paid for it.
That's awesome. Well, did you guys get a suite? Did the baby have his own room?
No. So I didn't know. Like they called it a mini suite, but there were no walls, you know? So, but it did have a little balcony. So the first
You put night, him on the balcony?
Yeah, we put him on the balcony. Just let him fend for himself. No, so the first night when we didn't have the babysitter, we got room service and just like ate on the balcony. So
oh, nice.
That was good. Yeah. So first babysitter and first trip, and it went really well.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm so happy.
Yeah, and the way back, he woke up. He didn't sleep the whole time. He cried a little bit, but it wasn't bad. Like neither of us had to sit in the back. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I called a win, so I think
Success.
We're ready to go on another trip, but maybe not before we wean him off the snoo.
You take your snoo to Paris.
Oh my God.
Your rented snoo that you don't even own.
Right, I know. I was really worried about like it getting damaged or something on the trip, but I think it managed okay. Oh, the other thing about having the snoo on like hotel Wi-Fi is that it doesn't really connect to the Wi-Fi properly. I mean, it was a whole thing. So you know how most like hotel Wi-Fi's, you don't have a password, but you like get to a screen where you have to log in.
Yes.
That doesn't work with the snoo. So we only had like the basics, you know, we had to use the buttons. Oh my God. We didn't have the app. It didn't tell us like, you know, we didn't have the chart to see how well he slept, but we survived.
Good.
anyway, but it was really fun and it was very relaxing and I had a nice birthday.
Yay.
Anyway, shall we take a little break and then move on to our special segment?
I think we should. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back with our special segment, which this week is Check in the Inbox, in which we respond to messages that we've received from you, our listeners. We've got some good ones this week. Let's start with an email that we got from Kari. And I think, Laura, this one might be aimed a little bit more towards you than me.
Okay.
So here we go. Kari says, I'm curious about how room and bed sharing works with cats. Do you keep them out of the room? Let them share the bed? All my friends with babies only have dogs, and they just keep the dog outside their room. But my husband and I have two kittens, and they love to play and join us on the bed and sometimes like to play in our bedroom. So I'd love to hear what you guys do. Laura, tips for Kari?
Oh, yeah. So I have two cats. I'm sure I've mentioned it many times on this show, and they were my babies before I had a baby. And I love them to pieces. And they actually do not sleep with us. They didn't even before the baby came. So before I started dating Corey, I had two cats and they actually did sleep in the bed with me. But then when I met Corey, I was worried that he was going to think I'm some kind of crazy cat lady, which is such a stupid stereotype. But I was like, I can't be this person who has two cats who stay in the bed. So I started kicking them out. Like when he would come over for, you know, overnight dates. Is that what they call it on The Bachelor? Overnight dates?
Yes.
And I suddenly realized how much better I slept when the cats weren't in my bed with me. My boy cat, Magnus, he would like literally run circles around my head at night. Like he would like do laps. And then I have pictures of this. He would try to sleep across my face, like with his belly across my face. And it was very sweet. He's a very sweet cat, but he was also big. Like at the time he was probably like 14 pounds. He's a big cat.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't going to work. So once I had that revelation, from that point on, I made sure they were out at night. During the day, but when I lived in a bigger house, we would keep the door to the bedroom closed and just make that like no cat zone. But now we live in a really small house and it kind of seems cruel because we live in like less than 1,200 square feet. And I just feel like they need a little space to roam. So I basically leave the bedroom door open during the day, but we make sure they're kicked out at night when we're sleeping and when the baby's sleeping next to us because, you know, we don't want him to get smothered in his sleep. And I have to say, it's worth it. Like, I know it seems hard to kick the cats out and they'll probably like scratch at the door for a while, but it really does lead to better sleep. And you just don't want to be worried about the cat sleeping on top of your baby's face or scratching.
I was going to say scratching. Yeah. I would be worried about.
You know, my cats are really gentle, but like still they'll occasionally like jump off my lap in a weird way and leave a scratch on me, you know, and like little delicate baby skin. You just don't want that to happen. So we keep them out of the room unless we mess up. And I actually have a video from our Nest Cam of the time my cat Cal was being sneaky and hid in the room. And then we looked at the monitor and saw him like peering into my baby's snoo.
Cal. Oh my
it's like a super creepy video because he's a really sweet cat and he doesn't look creepy in person, like in normal lighting conditions, but in the night vision, it looks super creepy. And then you can see like Corey come in and have to like wrestle him. So we'll make sure to post that on Instagram because it's too funny.
Yes, that is too funny. And you know, poor cats, don't they have a bad reputation or stereotype for being like steal the baby's breath
or whatever that means.
Yeah.
I will say they're awesome. So Cal, and I know every cat's different, but Cal is the younger one and he's like, he's still a little nervous around the baby, but he kind of keeps his distance. But Magnus is my old, sweet, stupid man. He's like the big love bug and he loves the baby. Like he will come and sit next to him and my baby will like legit grab chunks of his hair and I try to stop him, but you know, you're like multitasking and next thing you know, the baby is grabbing onto the cat. And Magnus is a long haired cat and he doesn't even care. He doesn't even like hiss or get mad. He just like literally just puts his head to the side and it's so cute. And like they legitimately love each other. They Magnus like rubs up against his head and like licks the baby's head and the baby will like reach out and pet him. It's so cute. So
that is so precious. And even if Magnus did have a bad reaction, that cat has no teeth, right?
He has four teeth.
Four. Are
exactly
they up front?
Four. Yeah, they're the sharp ones, but they're not that sharp, let me tell you. He's a bit of a lemon. He's a rescue. He's a rescue that, like, I'm pretty sure is purebred based on how many health problems he has.
Yeah.
Like, he's dumb as a rock, but very sweet, and he's very beautiful. But he also has had chronic gingivitis from the time he was a kitten, so that's why he has only four teeth left. So
yeah.
But yeah, we love Magnus, and he's great. So anyone who's worried about cats with babies, I mean, every cat's going to be different, but it's been pretty easy for us.
Awesome. That's great.
So, okay, I have a question for you. Or actually, I don't have a question. Well, I'm curious about this, but we've gotten so many people writing in asking about this. And the question is essentially, how is working from home going? Like, how are you able to juggle work and watching Cece?
You're all dying
to find out.
That's a great question. I do have an update and some tips for anyone else who's embarking on this. First of all, it's going pretty well. So the first 2 weeks I dove in from maternity leave after maternity leave was crazy busy. I work for an entertainment company and it was Upfronts, which is like when all the networks and everything announced their new TV shows. And so that kept us really, really busy. And so I had a lot of deadlines to meet and a lot of like tasks coming in. So I was constantly having to ignore her and do my stuff. And it's chilled out since then, which is really nice. And I have a job that most of the time I don't have like hard deadlines. Like I can do it, you know, as I need to do it, which is really, really helpful. And some other things that have really helped. First is getting her on a routine, more or less. I still kind of go with her cues on napping, but we have kind of an eating schedule and she more or less has a nap routine. So I can kind of guess, you know, when she's going to be resting, when she needs to eat, and I can work around that. And speaking of which, I try to cram in as much work as possible when she's napping, even if it's on lunch break, even if it's before work, after work, like that's when I try to cram in as much as I can. Like I will be working furiously and she'll start to like whimper and I'm like, not yet, not yet.
How long does she nap generally?
She usually has a good nap that's anywhere from like an hour and a half to 2.5 hours,
oh
at least one
God.
Of those per day. Yeah, I know, I know. We're really lucky.
Oh, what I would do with 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. What I would
do
too.
I got a crap napper.
Oh, he'll get
better. I'll have to ask your tips on how you got her to nap so well.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's a question. That's a question for another day for sure.
Yeah.
And then like a couple more, if, you know, here and there. They range from like 45 minutes to a couple hours. So that's really been helpful. Another thing that's super helpful, which I mentioned earlier, actually, is setting up a yes space.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's...
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Space. Right now, it's her pack and play, but I know she's going to be moving more, so I need to set it up bigger. And when I worked from home with Elle, that's what I did. And it was awesome. Like, I could put her in there and, like, take a conference call. And I knew she would be safe. So that's huge. If you aren't familiar with the concept or want to learn more, definitely look up Janet Lansbury Yes Space articles. That's huge. Her jumperoo has been super helpful. I think I posted a video about her and her little jumperoo the other day.
So cute. So cute.
Just like things that can keep her occupied without me needing to be there.
Did I tell you we got one of those?
You did? How does he like it?
My mom got me one for as a Mother's Day present. It was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
yeah,
good.
He freaking loves it.
Good. They're so fun, especially for the ones that really like to move and groove. And I know yours likes to be really active. So I imagine he loves it.
He never stops moving. Yes. Loves it. So, okay. So you have your yes space. You have your jumperoo. So that keeps her occupied when you have to focus on work.
Yes. And my other... This is like embarrassing to admit, and if you work with me, please don't judge me. I do occasionally have to call into meetings, and most of the time it's fine. She's napping or she's playing in her jumperoo, but I get on the call, I say, hey, Sean is on, and then I mute that call immediately because anything could happen.
Of course. I mean, that's standard protocol even without a baby. I just want to say. Like,
true.
I feel like everyone should do that. Like, you unmute when you have to say something. Like,
that
because
is
there's so
true.
Many people on. Maybe it's because I do a lot of conference calls where everyone's remote. But like, you gotta be on mute. Like, I can't if I'm hearing you typing. No.
True. No. Yeah. True. But I do panic sometimes because I'll have to like pick her up and I've got like the phone in one hand because it's attached to my headphones and my biggest fear is that like my thumb is gonna hit unmute and it's gonna hear me. Everyone's gonna hear me being like, "It's okay, baby. It's okay." I'm just like, "I'm out." So and then. My last one, which is huge because I do go into the office. I try to go in once a week to be there in person for meetings and stuff. And my company offers something called backup care. They subsidize a backup daycare center.
Oh.
So I can take her to this daycare center and it costs us $15 for the whole day. I usually don't take her for the whole day. Yes. And I put her in there. It's a wonderful facility and I can go into the office and come back and get her in like, I don't know, usually I do about 5 hours or so. And that is huge. It's been amazing.
That sounds awesome.
We get 20 days. We're allowed 20 days of that. That's the benefit.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's going to like get me through about half the year, right? Like, and I'll figure it out then, like what I'm going to do then, hire a babysitter or whatever. But I love not having to find a babysitter and I take her to the center and everyone's nice and it's awesome.
Is it on site or is it nearby work or what's the deal there?
It's not on site. It's nearby, but it's the same company that runs my other daughter's daycare. I know their protocols and systems and yeah, it's only about like 6 minute drive from my office. I love it.
Awesome. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going pretty well.
So far, so good. And I continue to feel so grateful that I've been given this opportunity. I love being able to spend extra time with her and watch her grow and move and, you know, do all these things. And that I'm not missing out. I know that's so hard when you work. So I'm really, really grateful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yay. Okay, that's my update.
Awesome.
Do we have anything else, or should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs after the break?
I think we need to hear those BFPs and BFNs.
All right, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
So we end every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFN this week. So I haven't mentioned this before, but my C-section, I don't want to say incision because I don't think it's the exactly the incision, but mm-hmm. the area around it, like my abdominal area, mm-hmm. still hurts. Five and a half months after my surgery.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, this did not happen with my first. I had other complications, but this, I'm starting to worry about it a little bit. I don't know if it's normal or not.
Like, what kind of pain? Dull pain, sharp pain, pain when you move? What, like, describe it.
I would say mostly it's in the area like above the incision and below my belly button. So that okay. kind of like, what did I call it before? Like the fat pouch or like C-section shelf or whatever. That area almost like internal. So especially if I move a lot or now that Cece's more mobile. I will stand her up on my lap and she'll kick her legs, I notice, and like hit me there. And then for the rest of the day, it just aches. Like, it's tender. Wow. It's super achy. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So I think I might have to go see the doctor and see what's going on.
No, I mean, I think that's a good
idea.
What
about you? How old is your area?
I'm like palpating it right now. You know, when I push on that area, it's a little bit tender, but I wouldn't call it pain, you know? Mm-hmm. It still has a little bit of a feeling like there's a very minor sunburn almost, but it's very superficial.
Like on the skin?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the nerves still kind of growing back, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't have internal pain. I remember very early, you know, maybe at about like 2 months, you know, I was officially healed, but if I would go on a long walk or something, I would definitely be achy in that area, but it's definitely gone away. So then again, I've only had one C-section and you've had two. So I definitely think it's something you should bring up to your doctor, because you want to make sure nothing's going on, especially with you have the history of your last incision not healing properly, right? So
yeah. Well, that's what's so weird about it this time is that, like I said, it's not the actual incision that's a problem. Like, that seems like it's healed up nicely. And yeah, there's a little numbness and kind of that like superficial sunburn feeling. But this internal stuff is definitely new to me. And oh, God forbid I try to do like some crunches, Laura. I think I did like 10 the other day because I was down on the floor with Cece. She's moving around. I was like, I'll do some crunches. Just fuck myself. I shouldn't have not done that. Yeah. So that
and
made it ache a lot.
Pretty fit. Like, you used to be like a fitness instructor, right? Like, you like know. You know how to do a crunch properly is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was because of like poor alignment or anything. I think something is definitely going on, and I'm so reluctant to like, I'm too busy. I don't want to go to the doctor. He's far away. We just went
to the doctor so much. Like, we're finally just not going to the damn doctor every like 2 to 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah, it's wonderful because my doctor is not convenient to where I live, but I know I have to suck it up. But also, I'm going to the doctor all the time with my kids. My older kid is sick all the time, and I'm just like, I'm taking care of everyone else except myself. And so, of course, Steve's like, Shauna, you've got to take care of this. Like, that's really important.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So I'll give an update whenever there is one.
Well, it's funny you say that because the thing I'm about to talk about, it addresses this issue very closely.
Interesting. What do you have?
So I have a BFP. It's a book called Burnout. And the subtitle is The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. And it's by these twin sisters, Emily Nagoski and Amelia Nagoski. I don't know if I'm saying their last names right. But it's – okay. So it sounds like a self-help book. If you look at the cover, it's this pink cover. And, like, it looks like a fluffy, like, you know, just dime a dozen self-help book. Which,
so why did you pick it, first of all?
I was actually our friend Marilyn. She listened to a podcast about it, sent me the podcast. I listened to the podcast and I was like, I got to read this book.
Cool.
And I went on Libby, which is the library, you know, app. And it was like a 6 week wait or something. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to get it on Audible. I had Audible credits. So I got it on Audible. I listened to it. It's read very well. It's read by the authors. They alternate chapters. And it blew my mind, Shauna. I was like texting everyone I knew in the middle of the book, like screenshots being like, you have to read this. You have to read this. This is amazing. I'm sure I texted you about it.
Sounds familiar.
And pretty much everyone I messaged was like, oh, you know what would stress me out? Having to read a fucking book, you know, right now. Like, I don't have time to read a book. But I really encourage people to read it because it was cathartic to read it. So this book looks like a normal self-help book, but I believe it to be like a feminist manifesto. And I mean that in the most pure way. Like, I know that a lot of people have problems with the word feminist, but what I mean is it's there to empower women. And it's really written for women. Like, you can tell by the pink cover, basically. But they say it in the book, like, women are much more likely to be burnt out. And we are the ones who need this book, especially mothers. And it's just a brilliant book. It breaks down sort of why, like, the whole world is sort of built to make us completely stressed out all the time, and also tells you very practical ways to try to counteract it in your life.
Okay.
But the thing that really was revolutionary to me is that they have this idea, they call it the stress cycle, because they separate the stressor from the stress. So they say the stressor is the thing that's making you stressed out. So, like, your kid is crying and won't stop crying. That's the stressor. Mm-hmm. The stress is a physiological response to that. So the stress itself isn't a, is like a thing that is happening in your body like any other emotion, like happiness, sadness, whatever. It's there and it has to be addressed. And you can address the stressor, right? You can give your, put your baby in front of the TV, right? And that stressor goes away. But that doesn't mean the stress has gone away. It's still in your body.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, like I've mentioned before, like Cece will stop crying at night and my whole body is buzzing with anxiety and stress.
Yes.
So it does not stop.
Yes. So they address that very specifically and give you a lot of really good ways to actually get that stress out of your body. I'm telling you, it's like already changed my life. I want to read it again. So I just have to share it with everyone. But one of the things that they talk about, is how mothers are giving. They call it human giver syndrome. Mm-hmm. So
makes sense.
Yeah. And they really are trying to emphasize that we need to take care of ourselves, that it's not selfish to take care of ourselves. I think there was a quote in there. I think it's Audre Lorde. I don't know if it's Audre Lorde or Audre Lorde. A-U-D-R-E, it says, caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. I like literally cried when I heard that. So
that's good.
Yeah. Highly, highly recommend this book, Burnout, by the Nagoski sisters.
Oh, I'm getting it immediately.
You got to get it. It's so, so good. And I've been trying to use the techniques to practice some self-care and, put my own oxygen mask on first, right? Like this idea.
When I think self-care, like the way that people throw it around to moms especially, I'm thinking like get a pedicure, get a massage for a couple hours. Is this the kind of thing they're talking about? Because to be honest with you, that doesn't really work for me. I'm wondering if it goes like a little bit deeper than that.
Much deeper. Okay. Much, much deeper. It acknowledges that, like, yeah, getting a massage or a pedicure, like, that can be self-care. Uh-huh. But, the other thing that's self-care is, like, getting sleep. The other thing that's getting self-care is, like, actually having that hard discussion with your husband about how he's not pulling his weight around the house. Or, another thing about self-care can be actually taking care of, volunteering in your community because it's something that's nourishing to you. So they get very much into detail about what self-care really is. Mm-hmm. And it's not this fluffy, like, go get a facial. It could be, but that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about self-care. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
cool.
It's awesome.
I need some inspiration on that level. So that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I really want to get the authors on the show. I'm going to work on that because I'm obsessed with them now. So anyway, that's my BFP. It was and I wanted to say, this is how I listened to it. So everyone's like, how the fuck did you read a book? You have a baby.
Right.
One AirPod in my ear while I was like either like rocking him to sleep for a nap or when we would go on walks. That's how I got it done. And on 2x speed, because I listen to audiobooks 2x speed. And I got through it like pretty fast. So
awesome. Good tip. Yep. Cool. Ooh. All right. Let's read that book and take care of ourselves.
Yeah. Let us know if you've read that book or if you read it and have something to add to the discussion. Let us know on our Facebook community page. Just search for Big Fat Positive on Facebook. We also are on Instagram and Twitter, and we have another Facebook page. Just search for @BFP Podcast.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to rate and review us on whatever platform you listen, that would be amazing and so helpful. And we'll see you next week.
Also, your referral is the best thing that we could ask for. So if you love this podcast and you have a friend who's newly pregnant and looking for something to listen to, tell them about our show. We would love if you spread the word about Big Fat Positive.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.